Accepted the material being. Narendra, a king, Vidurayamayam, Vishal Lady Perfection, accumulated because of contamination by the material being. By awakening of transcendental mind, due to good association and study of the Vedic literatures, Vimukti Sanyaya, free from all material association. Jita Satsapatna, conquering the six enemies, the five non-supplying senses, and the mind. Veda, knowledge, Atmatattvam, spiritual truth, Ramati, Elongus, in this material world, until that time. Translation. Now, dear King Rahugan, as long as the conditioned soul accepts the material body and is not freed from the contamination of material enjoyment, and as long as he does not conquer his six enemies and come to the platform of self-realization by awakening his spiritual knowledge, he has to bend among different places and different species of life in this material. When one's mind is absorbed in a material conception, thinks that he belongs to a particular nation, family, country, or creed, these are called upayas, designations and one has to become freed from them. As long as one is not freed, he has to continue conditioned life in material existence. The human form of life is meant for cleansing away his misconceptions. If this is not done, one has to repeat the cycle of birth and death, and thus suffer all material conditions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The third line of the verse reads, Virakti Sanga Jita Sat Sapatnam. The Sat Sapatnam, or the co-wives, Sapatnam means, co-wives. So it is the five knowledge acquiring senses in the mind. We are always living with these senses, whether in the mind, or compared to co-wives for the reason that they are not us. To make the distinction between the mind, the senses, and the self. That we actually are not this mind. We are not the senses. Therefore, whatever the senses dictate is received, the information is received by the mind, and subsequently the mind engages in contemplation, thinking about the sense objects, and then feeling awakens, desire awakens, willing, thinking, feeling, and then. So in this way, the conditioned soul is just completely controlled by the three modes of material nature. Prakriti, Kriyamanani, Kulukan, Sarvasa, Ahamkaravinudhima, Katahan, Itimanyate. Like a puppet who is just completely controlled to the dictates of, or the dictates of the senses. And there is no question of a free will. Because we are just going hither and thither according to our the dictates of the senses, and the senses just are under the influence of the three modes of material nature that create so many circumstances. And in that way, the living being is covered by the illusory potency. Maya has two shaktis, the avaramatmika shakti and the prakshabatmika shakti, where the covering potency and the throwing potency. The throwing potency is reserved for the devotees. Throwing opportunities right there under our nose. The dream opportunity, the one that we've always been waiting for that never happened, and suddenly it's there. Who you got? How can I let it go? If I let it go, I'll never forgive myself. Yes. Ah, gosh. All the way to hell with the consequences. Let's just take it now and see tomorrow what tomorrow brings. But as we are trying to enjoy the material energy, Maya is depicted as Durga Devi riding on a tiger. She has 10 arms and carrying different weapons in those arms. And in one of the arms, she's carrying a trident. And this trident is representing the threefold miseries, the three types of klesh, Adiyatmika, Adibhautika, Adibhautika, klesh. Her suffering caused by the mind and body, suffering caused by other living entities, or suffering caused by the devatas, by natural circumstances. And this is the trident. And just at the peak of our enjoyment, suddenly Maya mercilessly stabs us with this trident. That hurts quite bad, actually. At that state, yes, it's a never again. Never again. I have learned my lesson. Oh boy. Next time, or I'll pass. No way. And I again bounces some opportunity in the round and say, Oh no. Oh no, I'm not going for this. Oh no. But Maya keeps on bouncing. And we say, oh come on. Take it away, please. No, don't do this to me. Take it away. And then comes the rationalization. Well, actually, it was bad, the trident. It was bad, but only short. The pain was intense, but it didn't last that long. And actually, the enjoyment was extremely good. Yes. And rationalization kicks in. And yes, it's all right. It's not so bad. And if you don't suffer, how can you enjoy it all? And in this way, we rationalize all out. I'll take some pain.
Ah, yes, it hurts. I know.
Anyway, the enjoyment is so sweet. So this is the covering potency of Maya, where we are actually accepting the suffering as an acceptable condition of life. There are two Bengali dreams, which are classics that have been around for a long time, and they are interesting. The first one is the person who has fallen into the pit and is hanging on a branch, and at the bottom of the pit there is a snake, and he's hanging on the branch, looking at that snake. At the edge of the pit, there is a tiger looking down, just in case he was having any hope to climb out of the pit, he may as well forget that. And he's hanging on that branch, and then, somewhere or other, there's a tree over the pit, and there's a beehive in the tree, and a drop of honey falls off the beehive exactly onto his face. And it runs down, and he looks at you, very sweet. So this is one dream kind of illustrating the position and the precarious position that we are in when we tell you about a lot. We forget everything. We forget the snake of time that is below us and that will devour us, death. We forget, and we forget the tiger of material existence, which will cause us so much suffering. In this way, we forget. So that is drawing number one. Drawing number two is the drawing of a frog. And this frog, as frogs do, especially in the rainy season, when frogs come out on the slopes, they are hearing the sound of the croaking frogs. And in this way, the frog is inviting his death, or its death. And the snake comes up from behind, and as we know, snakes don't chew their food. Yeah? Rather, snakes swallow it whole. So this frog is being swallowed by the snake.
Yes.
And quite a bit already swallowed. The head is still sticking out. And then a little frog comes by. And the tongue of the frog shoots out of its mouth to catch the fly. So the snake is representing time. So we can just calculate by our age how much we're already swallowed by the snake. In my case, at 60, I think at age 60, I think that the snake is already, it's already devoured the neck, you know. But my mouth is still sticking out. It is. No problem. No problem. Everything is fine. I can still do it. Yeah. So one has to control yourself when it comes to flies or all these things. You should not become bewildered by such things. It always looks better than it is. In the mind, just before the fall down, in the mind, it looks absolutely good. But just remember, just at that point, when it looks really good, remember that it will not be as good as it looks. Just tell yourself that one thing, just before you fall down. That is a fact. So, in this way, because the material energy is basically the illusory energy. And it depicts different illusions of material enjoyment. And really, it's all happening in the mind. It's not that good. It's not that good at all. It's sort of a compromised situation. And then there's some honey in the compromised situation. It's always a compromised situation. I can use the example of the lady that is waiting for the prince that never came. Hannah's horse waiting so long and still no prince and realizing, and then finally he comes around the corner. He didn't come in his horse, but anyway, he may have cauliflower ears, but anyway, and then we have a whole bunch of children with cauliflower ears. So in this way we get compromised, but we have to settle for less. We want perfection, but because we can't get it, we settle for something less. Whether we're blind, uncle, or mum. And that is the situation. But then we already start out bad. We already start out with less than what we really wanted. And we're going to be living with it all alone on the day. And we're going to be living on Oh gosh, I knew I should never done this. Why did I do it anyway? Confirmed. So, not in the material world. Therefore, one must, first of all, be situated in the night. So we're seeing the upadis. The upadis are these identifications. It is in the mind that we are identifying. We are identifying with a particular material situation. Dietary, we see up in some of physical dietary. It begins with contemplation, and then attachment arises due to that contemplation. And then we want it. Then we want it. Therefore, one should let anjasya yukta karma ganti vanda, with a sort of knowledge, one should cut. But even knowledge is not a very good position. Knowledge is not a good position. Knowledge is not a position where we are liberated. In the state of knowledge, we are conditioned souls. In the state of knowledge, though, with the intelligence we cut, with the intelligence we analyze situations, saying, no, it's not worth it. It's not what it seems to be. Don't go for it. Forget it. You have already been married 3 times. Don't do it for the 4th time. Really, it's not going to be any different. Really. Not really. It's the same script. Different actors, but the same script. Yeah. Do not buy into it this time. Right. So, like this, with intelligence. Right. But any good year long term, intelligence is not something that is born with. Intelligence is a gift from Krishna. Maybe due to past sukriti, due to past piety, we are carrying with us some access to intelligence from previous life. But true intelligence means spiritual intelligence. The other day, in a Russian class, I remembered the story of Pavel and the Menza Club, and I shared with you also, because I like that story. And basically, Prabhupada was invited in London to visit the Menza Club. Now, the Menza Club is a club for people who have an IQ of at least 148, if I remember well. 148 is quite on the high side, and not too many people might score that on an intelligence test. Prabhupada was invited there, and there was one of the leading members who was hosting him, and there was an exchange. And Prabhupada began the discussion with a point from the Vaishyatara, which basically describes that one should not water the branches and the leaves of a tree, but one should water the roots of the tree. And the man is listening to Prabhupada, and then he says, it's London after all, then he says, well, I beg to disagree. Actually, if you pour the water on the leaves of a tree, then you can make a delicious beverage called tea. That was like quite a stupid remark. But anyway, he thought he was very smart. And in this way, evading the viewpoint, and that's what he kept on doing throughout the discussion. At one point, Prabhupada began to compare Maya to the shadow side of Krishna, just as the sun as a shadow side, the light side and the dark side. And again, he goes, well, I beg to differ. Actually, the sun has no dark side at all. That only depends from the position of the observer. Rather, the sun is light on all sides. And Prabhupada said, yes, I meant from the platform of the observer. Yeah, so in this way, the discussion unfolded, and at the end, the man said, Swamiji, it was a wonderful debate. You can see what he was trying to do. He was debating rather than having a general discussion and trying to understand something. Then he said, there is only one more thing we would like to ask, and that is, would you be willing to do our test? And what is it? Test? What kind of test? He said, an intelligence test. I said, intelligence? Intelligence is not very important. The man was shocked. He was shocked. Intelligence is not very important. His whole life centered around intelligence. That is the only thing. Men's a clock member. Intelligence. His whole life is about intelligence, and no doubt that intelligence is not so important. So, for the first time, he had no answer. He was just shocked. And then Prabhupada said, actually, we have our own test. Your own test? Your own test? What is that? Prabhupada said, we have a test to see how God-conscious someone is. And then he left him at that. And in this way, defeated him in debate. So, transcendental intelligence surpasses any mundane measurement of intelligence. Mundane measurement of intelligence is not ultimately intelligent. Intelligence means that one understands the instructions of Krishna and that one acts upon the instructions of Krishna. It is particularly acting upon the instructions of Krishna that is the Vedic definition of intelligence. Therefore, the Dharmi Buddhi Yogi Dhamma. Therefore, intelligence is given to us. Intelligence where we connect with Krishna. But Balavan Indriyam Gramo Vidvamsamadhikarsati, the senses are so strong that even a man of learning continues to struggle. Ultimately, one has to come to a transcendental platform to be really transcendental. Just as it is said in Bhagavatam, Sradharati Bhakti Anikramishyati, that Sraddha, initial faith, then Rati, or the ecstatic stage of devotional service, and then Bhakti will develop step by step. So in that verse, the definition of Bhakti comes after Rati. After one has emotional attachment for Krishna, that's when one comes to the platform of real bhakti. It's a very high definition of bhakti. Sometimes in scriptures there are liberal definitions of bhakti and very strict definition of bhakti. This strict definition of bhakti, which I've just now brought up, is relevant to point out that one cannot be really satisfied in devotional service until one comes to that point of deep attachment to serving Krishna. Where one has no other desire than serving Krishna. Admendirapiti vamsitara balukam, Krishnendirapiti piti ichidara pivanam. As long as one is concerned with satisfying his own senses, one speaks of lust. As long as one speaks of satisfying the senses of Krishna, then one speaks of love. So that is the only way to become Sarvapari Vinyanam. And that is in that verse from the Nāyara Pañcaratra, that verse which Nāyara Muni presented, Sarvapari Vinyanam Tak Paritvinanam Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti each day. That one must become free from all designations. In that way, one will become nirmalam, one will become purified from all traces of anatta. And by engaging in devotional service, Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. And that is bhakti. So Jiva Goswami, he compares that verse from the Nāyara Pañcaratra with the verse of Rupa Goswami, that one must be free from any other desire, the desire for karma and jnana, or the desire to enjoy, or the desire for liberation, these two desires. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is describing these two desires of karma and jnana and compares them to a person who is very skinny. Although he has a great voracious appetite, and yet he remains skinny. Why? Because he has worms. Worms. So, what happens is the worms are taking away all the nourishment. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta explains that karma and jnana are like worms that take away the nourishment of bhakti. And therefore, as long as one has desires to enjoy the material energy, or one has desires for liberation, these two will steal the nourishment of bhakti. And we will not be fulfilled in our bhakti, and we will just continue to experience devotional service as a struggle. So this is the situation. So yes, Jagannath was preaching to the king to give up the identification with matter, and particularly trying to enjoy matter, giving up that spirit, or equally so, trying to avoid conditions of suffering, and to just simply remain aloof. And that is what Jack Barrett showed himself. He was not pursuing any sense enjoyment, and he was not making book arrangements to enjoy all kinds, to avoid all kinds of suffering. Think about his elder brothers who were not taking care of him properly after his father left the planet. They were giving him like the burnt rice that was kicked to the pot, black, black burnt bits of rice, and he's eating that. Then the Kali worshippers, they tried to sacrifice him. They even dressed him up like an animal, and they fed him sumptuously, and he ate. Right? He even ate. I don't think I would have eaten you if they were about to sacrifice me and they're serving me, trying to serve me a meal. I would probably throw that on you, say, forget it. And John Barlow just peacefully ate their own meal and totally let them do whatever they wanted to do. He was strong and muscular. He didn't fight. He just didn't try to avoid this. If the Lord wants to kill you, then you kill him. Brother had that same kind of spirit of acceptance. Prabhupada was very fond of Kachoris, as we know. And as a child, he was known as Kachori Muki. And when even in the Hazrat Ashram, his wife was regularly making Kachoris. So during the Second World War, she also made Kachoris. But then there was a bomb around, and everyone was supposed to be in bomb shelters. But Prabhupada was just sitting there at Kachoris. So he decided to just continue eating and forget the bomb shelter. So then he saw where the bombs were falling. And he said, that was also Krishna. That was also Krishna. He saw the destruction. He said, that was also Krishna. But that was not Krishna in a lovable form. That was Krishna in his universal form. Yeah, not in his lovable form. Yeah. So, later, many years later, when the devotees asked Prabhupada what he would do, when the bomb would come, Prabhupada said, then I would think, here comes Krishna in the form of a bomb to kill me. He wasn't too worried about it. So, this is the crucial thing in this world. When an ambulance races over the road with sirens and blue light, everyone moves over to the side, to the side, quick, it's a matter of life and death. This is the cutting edge, a matter of life and death. And actually, this is false. This is not the cutting edge. This is not at all the cutting edge. Life and death, no big deal, actually. It happens, you die, you take birth, you die, you take birth. Life and death goes on. That's not the cutting edge. The cutting edge is about serving Krishna the mind. Devotional service, that's the cutting edge. Opportunity for devotional service, that's the cutting edge. And that's the change. Instead of meditating on the ambulances and matters of life and death, it's a matter of devotional service, an opportunity to serve Krishna. Oh, never say no. Oh, never let it go. Any chance to serve Krishna. And then, finally, I will say, is that, yes, but Krishna is so far away. But there is Lord Chaitanya. He is very merciful and very quickly. Very quickly, this result. You only see that now for so much benefit. So much. And then, even in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said that Lord Chaitanya would not accept any offering from anyone who was not turning 64 years. Part of bread abiding to 16. But while he brought down the number of rounds, he did not bring down the result. Because God had said, if we follow four regulative principles and turn 16 rounds, then we will go back to government. He said it on many occasions. Portland, he said, you'll go back to David, I guarantee it, he said. So, now it lowered the threshold into the spiritual world. Therefore, ultimately, that is our real world shelter. That is where we turn to. Srila Prabhupada. We are looking, yes, at merciful Krishna. He is very merciful, very kind. We are looking at very merciful Lord Chaitanya, very merciful Lord Nityananda, very merciful Srila Prabhupada. Ultimately, it is there where we have hope. And even that we find difficult to follow whatever Prabhupada wanted us to follow. Even with that, we struggle. Even with that, we're not doing well. Even there, we fall down on the path. Buddhana Patinanda Shas Kalapadavati Muhu, Yat Kripa Swasti Dharina Santa Santari Lambanam. Vishuddha Gavidas Goswami says, my path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. But by the stroke of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can stay on the path. So whatever we do, never leave the devotees. Never leave the devotees. And even if we struggle, we can hope against hope, asabandha. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made an interesting statement. He said that these vows of initiation are so powerful that even if they are not followed properly, generally, they will still be successful. That's not a license to take it easy now. Put your feet on. That's not a license to put your feet on the table. But it is showing how far the mercy extends. And with that, we can carry on with great hope. This movement is meant for us, for people like us. Kaladasa Nitya Rajan Astyaga Mahanguna Kitanat Eri Krishna Samanta Samanta. For people from the age of Kali who are full of faults. His heart is an ocean of faults, but by just taking shelter of chanting the holy name, we can attain perfection. And that is easier, that is easier than following just the path of Jagat. I don't want to eat bread and glass and so many other things that Jagat endured. But Jagat made it possible. He made a movement. Like I'm a sannyasi and I travel around the world, and geez, is it tough, you know? I mean, I have to go to the trouble of looking on the internet where the nearest temple is, and then somehow or other, if there's no email given on the internet website, and I go, gosh, you know, can't they get it together? Well, then I have to find an email address so that somebody will pick me up from the airport. So that I get some, so that my lunch will be ready according to my diet sheet, which is downloadable from the web, by the way. Sometimes they say, in this age, we are all, the sannyasis are going straight to Bhagavad Acharya. I'm not sure. Sometimes I think that we got stuck in Kutichak, and that we've got Kutias all over the world, wherever we go, waiting for. Anyway, just a little footnote. If anyone has a question. So what did you do? Yeah, well, you just described our condition. We are from the age of Kali. We are weak. We are full of material contamination. And in this age, we find everything difficult. You know, it starts with getting out of bed, and then it just goes on like that. You get out of bed and think, oh, God. Then you have to take a shower and think, oh, do I really have to take a shower? And then you have to put tea lock and think, do I really have to put it in all 12 places? Nobody sees them anyway. Just put them on for a minute. And you think, oh, God, you know. Man, do I really have to go to Mangalore? It's so cold. It's so far. Yesterday it rained. I did go yesterday, so today I need to recover. Then, you know, God, then I have to turn my rounds and my beats, they are so heavy. They weigh hundreds of grams. Oh, God. For 2 hours, my wrist, you know, my crowns, this, that. And all these things. And every day, you know, I just have no taste. I have no taste for it. And it's like, you know, why do I have to do something that I don't like? Kind of just do what I like, you know. God, give me a break, you know. Does religion have to be so tough that your brain's got so tough that you can't do what you like? I can't see it at all. I think that religion should just basically be more accommodating. Is this Krishna consciousness really the appropriate path? I doubt about it, really. Well, of course. It's nice. Well, and my friends confirm it. They say the same thing. And we start all kinds of societies, you know, nowadays, like, just to get some more freedom. A joint in one hand, beat back in another, and Baiva, or something, you know, like, that is just gives us more freedom. Something to do. Whatever we are, as we are in this movement, we get to know more about Krishna. And it says in an octave of devotion that by knowing Krishna, you also begin to know yourself. Just as by the light of the sun, you see yourself. So gradually we get more knowledge of ourselves. We begin to actually see it. We never realized it. But little by little, it becomes mapped out before our eyes, how we are contaminated. And as we got a better vision of it, we begin to see what we have to do. And still we don't do it. But then, time moves along. And all the time that that frog swallows us, right? All the time that it's up to the neck. And then a little fly goes past your nose and you think, it looks good, but maybe I'm not going to go for it. Maybe not this time. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to be so stupid anymore. I've tried so many flies and never was very tasty. Maybe. Maybe now that I'm almost dead with one foot in the grave, maybe now I'm going to get serious. Maybe then. And then maybe for a few years of our spiritual life, we actually get serious and we want to do some service, although we're struggling with bad health and cough and cough and bend over and crooked and cannot do so much. But anyway, and maybe. Just before we croak it, before we finally breathe our last breath, maybe we'll chant one sincere mantra. Maybe. And if we're a little more intelligent, we'll get a little more serious, somewhat earlier in our spiritual life. It's up to us. It's up to us. Yes. You get a microphone, it's coming, so because the internet is following us. Please pass it on. And there's a switch on as well. So.
Would you say that seeking the right association would be
from falling too far, even if we fall in the association. Hopefully we don't fall in the association. Then we get inspiration in the light association to try also. So yes, the light association is a key element, absolutely. And actually the light association, Sadhu Sangha, is one of the five principal limbs of Bhakti, Panchanga. And these Panchangas are all five very important. Healing Srimad Bhagavatam, and to really heal Srimad Bhagavatam, to go to the holy Dhamma. Sometimes people say, I haven't been in the Dhamma for 20 years. I can end these ones in 1 year. What misfortune, you know, because the time is so nourishing. It is so nourishing to spend time, not just a flesh visit. Flesh visit, nice, but spend time. So nourishing. Bhagavatam, just lavish Bhagavatam. So potent. Association with devotees, worship the deities, just to mostly worship, the deity will protect us. Here in Marlborough, there was a devotee from the early days, and he was a pujari. And for many years, he was one of the principal pujaris here in Marlborough. And in the late 80s, something happened. He went to an astrologer in Calcutta. And the astrologer said that soon you will leave your family and start a new family. Wife, two nice boys. Soon you leave your family, he was shocked. So then he continued with his life every day, worshipping the deities and so on. And nothing ever happened. So 3 months later, 3 months later, he was again in Calcutta and walked past this astrologer. He thought, let me go and let me tell him Let me tell him, you know, your strategy useless. Was useless. Yeah. Didn't come through. The astrologer said, okay, let me do some calculations and see why. He did a calculation and he said, the deities that you are worshipping have interfered. Anybody says the skeptic. Preparing what happened is someone made a business proposal. And for the business proposal, he had to move to Calcutta. He was getting good money, so he did. He moved to Calcutta, he gave up the worship of the deities, and within no time, it happened. It happened. He just met his lady and left. His family started a new family, and that's still the situation. Somehow, the protection of the deity, so it is these five things. The fifth one I didn't mention, Chenmanya Krishna. So these five things are special, very important. And Prabhupada built the life of the devotees around this Panchamani Bhakti. But I agree, even if you can't do all the other things, at least we can do it for the devotees. So maybe it's the bottom line. And if you can't chant, at least we can do it for the devotees. We don't read, at least we can read the devotees in this way. The devotees are an association of devotees. They are ultimate safety net. I'm really stuck at 9 because I'm giving another class at 10. Yes, thank you. I'm going to spend very nicely. And all that. Does anyone have a microphone on the left? Okay, please speak.
That verse you described that the bhakti doesn't stop until you have bhakti.
No.
When I asked you about that, it just flashed in my mind when I asked this question. So what does it mean when you're practicing bhakti and you're stuck? In other words, I've been a devotee of Krishna for 32 years. I'm stuck.
That's the stage of bhakti where we are conditioned and we still have our material desires, but somehow or other, by good fortune, we've also developed some attachment to Krishna. So now we have both. We are totally attached to Maya and also attached to Krishna. And in this stage, we're stuck in bhakti. We're stuck. That's the stage where we're stuck in bhakti. And, you know, then you can think of Bhakti Tirtana, which is made up of the two dogs that are fighting. The material dog and the spiritual dog, or the material desire and the spiritual desire. And which dog is going to win? The one that you feed the most. So that's one solution. And I guess that's why we're here. It's you have a question already, it's in your capacity.
This question is
give him a chance. Believe it. You can't have two. This is
so, Lord, I spoke about fortune, the double body organ that spoke to intelligence. My question is, what devotee who has purpose books every day, what do they get from it? And what happens to a devotee who doesn't read purpose books every day?
If we meet them with reluctance, then if we read these books with resistance, then they will act like a thunderbolt and hit our heart. If we meet the books with interest and curiosity, then they will give us some enlightenment in the darkness. If we read the books and we begin to fail them, then they will be like lamps that will guide us on the path. And when we will finally read these books and appreciating how Krishna is the very center of these books and our devotional service to Krishna is just being described in so many amazing ways, when we come to the point of vanishing these books, then we will just one by one by one. So what we get from these books is mercy.
Mercy.
That mercy will come first in the form of destroying our matters, and then that mercy, as we get advanced, that mercy will come into a form of satisfying our desires to associate with Krishna, to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna. It will relieve us from separation. In this way, depending, first place of me, Subhadra, first destruction of suffering, then everything becomes auspicious. Then, moksha lagi prakrit, we get freed from this, we get freed from any other desires, even desire for liberation. Then, sudolabha, that's rarely attained. And then, devotional service becomes thicker and thicker, more dense, sambhananda visesatman. We don't want to waste a moment of yakta karatvam, the great vigorous now, samut kanta, the desire to always associate with Krishna, Bhava, and finally, in pain, you faint. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says you must read these books until you faint. Not from exhaustion, but from ecstasy. And you faint. You faint. But when you faint, you cannot hear anymore. So then, when you come back to your senses, you hear again until you faint again. This is Pita Bhagavatam Vasanarayan Laya means to faint. So different lines related to the church. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one.